Hi, my name is Carly Duran. I am 34 years old. Today is the 25th of November, 2020, and I'm speaking with Eve Duran, who's my mom, and we're recording this interview in San Diego, California. All right, so, Mom, can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
Well, I think the first happiest memory that I recall was when I was maybe 7 or 8, and I was given a little black fluffy kitten, and I called it Fluffy, and I was crazy about her. I was really crazy about her, and I didn't have her very long. I think maybe, as I recollect, maybe a handful of months, and I was forced to get rid of her because my brother was allergic to, they discovered he was allergic to cats, and especially hairy ones, and Fluffy was very furry. And so, but what, I mean, that was one of the happier moments. However, he later got a cat, and it was a short-haired cat, and he named it Needles, and I liked it, but I was resentful that I had to get rid of my cat, and he got a cat after that. And I didn't, you know, it didn't add up to me. It hurt. It was hurtful. But I didn't understand it. I was too young.
Your mom made you get rid of him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he was terribly allergic. He had terrible allergies, my brother. And but for whatever reason, they let him get Needles. I'm not sure.
I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, it was hurtful, but you know, it's funny that it's kind of a juxtaposition that I got. That was one of the happiest moments of my life,
right?
That led to some very miserable part of my life of feeling it was unjustified.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, when my mother remarried, when I was about 6, she got together with my stepdad, who later adopted me, and my brother, your uncle, and he was the local kids show host. He was the local celebrity. He was Captain Bob, and when she got together with him, it was probably pretty close to one of the happiest times in my life. He was kind of like a savior for us, and he believed in vacations, and we would go on vacations every year, maybe even more than once a year, but we went on these very cool vacations, and they weren't like to Europe or, you know, some far off lands. It was usually local, like in Texas. Within Texas, we'd go to Galveston, Austin. One of my really favorite memories was going to, we rented an Airstream trailer right on the lake in Austin, and it was just, I adored it. Went water skiing, although that was not a wonderful memory, the actual water skiing, because one of the skis came up and cracked me on the back of the head, but, and I was yanked from the water immediately, and but it was fun. But the vacations themselves, the swimming pool, I loved to swim. We belonged to this, I don't know if it was a country club or what it was. It was a local swimming pool that the Memorial Bend, I think was the name of our little neighborhood. And you could use their facilities there. And my earliest memory, I learned to swim when I was 4, so the swimming pool was a real joy for me.
Yeah,
I loved swimming.
Did Do you think that's why we would go on little vacations? Because I remember, you know, going to Arizona.
Yeah.
And just, like, kind of local place, a little Rosarito.
Maybe. Maybe they instilled that love of travel in me. Road trips and whatnot. Yeah, we did do that. We did do quite a few of those little things.
And I remember them, and some of the things you're saying kind of reminds me of the same feelings that I would have, like, when it was, like, we'd go to Catalina, and it'd be me, you, Martin, Jason, and just, you know, feelings you can't forget as a child, even though maybe I can't remember all the details, the feeling of these little vacations is still...
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about replicating that, I replicated that as a an adult.
Yeah, and I kind of have these ideas now that I'm pregnant that we'll do similar things. So that's kind of cool. It's like a something to pass on.
Yeah, I think there is something about vacationing that gets you outside of yourself. You know, and allows you to experience things and just, you know, get out of your rut.
Yeah, and you get to experience your family in a different way, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was fun. And it was really the only time that my brother and I really got along. Because he could, you know, he only had me. I was his only play pal. And we would have some adventures, Gary and I. It was fun.
So the little black cat and vacations.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the happiest memories.
That's nice, Mom. Anything else you want to add to that one?
No, I can't think of any. I mean, certainly there were more happy... I had some happy moments in my childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a really... it was rough. I had a mother who definitely had some issues. She definitely was grappling with some mental issues. And she made life pretty hard. She could make life pretty hard. You know, bringing up happy memories is a challenge for me. But and even on vacation, you know, she was always there. She would, obviously, she was part of the family and part of the vacation, but and she wasn't always part of the happy memories even on vacation. But I still have fond memories of some of those vacations. And there were happy moments during those times. And I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful that my mother married the man that she did. And I think she did it for us. I think that was one of the greatest things that she ever did for me and my brother, was to marry Captain Bob.
I know. And me too, honestly. You know? Because I don't think we'd have any of the memories without him either. Or you wouldn't have been able to provide that for us, maybe, if she was your only influence.
I shudder to think what would happen to my brother and I if she hadn't married somebody like my dad.
To experience love.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense to me. I'm going to move on to this next question. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Well, I think that one of the biggest things I learned was to be independent and take care of my own needs. coming from, you know, the family that I did, I learned pretty early on that I needed to learn to take care of myself and be independent. And it's something that I'm now actually kind of proud of, that I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tragically, it's the reason that I had to learn that was because of my home life, mm-hmm. and my mother and growing up with her. And I just learned that I had to take care of my own needs. But it did, I grew into a very independent person, which, you know, is a good thing.
Hmm.
And I've been able to take care of myself through some pretty turbulent times.
Yeah.
I've persevered. Hmm. And I think that was a really important lesson for me, especially as a kid. And I think it's served me well through my adulthood.
Yeah. And probably the death of my dad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, having to take care of, well, three kids and... Yeah. You know, none of it was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes... I don't know, I think back to, I get a little resentful because I feel like you were rightfully so trying to take care of the family and going to school and going to work. And
I think there was some neglect and abandonment.
I didn't get to see you as much as, you know, maybe I didn't know I needed.
Right.
And there's also this other side that I understand as a 34-year-old woman, that you had to do what you had to do to take care of.
I was your age when your dad died.
Yeah, and I couldn't imagine doing this.
I had three kids, and it was. But the thing is that it was so ingrained in me to just plow through and put one foot in front of the other and forge ahead. But I definitely did abandon. I feel I abandoned you and your brother. I let Jason go to his dad's. He was starting to get into some trouble.
Mm.
And I had his dad to send him to, and I did, when he was 12. And so then it was just the three of us, and I am afraid that I neglected and abandoned you too, much more than I should have.
Mm.
And that was second nature to me too, because I was abandoned.
Mm. Yeah.
And neglected as a kid.
Yeah.
And I carried it through.
There's so many aspects of this that, I mean, like, it would be hard to really say what was right either way. Like, don't go to school and don't work and stay home. Like, I don't know how doable that would have even been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know that there was a right answer, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I feel like I gained a lot from I don't know, I have a hard time saying it was abandonment, but maybe in some aspect, you know, what else do you call it?
Yeah, right. I'm afraid that's what it was.
But I, like you, had to find ways to kind of...
Cope.
To mm-hmm. cope, or to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And some of that I appreciate today, yeah. You know. And I get it from you as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're good at handling things you have to handle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are. Yeah, you are. Very resilient. Right.
Yeah, and I think that can go a number of ways for a kid. And it has gone a number of ways. I just happened to pull through it and be who I am today. But
yeah.
Sorry, I'm crushing you.
No.
Okay. Right. Are you ready or you want to add to that?
Where were we at? The important lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. What are you proudest of in your life?
I think my proudest moment was probably, or one of them. Of course, you know, having three children, you know, you're all, of course, three of my proudest, you know, I mean.
But yeah, you don't have to say, aside from that.
Aside from that, graduating, finally getting the degree at 47 was quite a conquest,
mm-hmm.
because school was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, even school as a kid was difficult for me. But I did always, even as a little girl, I used to play teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, thought I wanted to be a teacher as a little girl. I grew up and went to school, and it wasn't the first thing I thought of. I went straight from high school into a university, not community college, and it was a little overwhelming for me, and I only lasted 2 years. And plus, I was drinking a lot,
mm-hmm.
and that got in my way. So, and I continued to, like, off and on take classes when I could. I was a mother, well, a lot of that time. I had my first job at 21. And then, when I wasn't being a mom, I would take some classes now and again. And so off and on, you know, I just kept going to school, and I'd go into different directions, and then finally I honed in on getting a teaching credential.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy, but I went back to school I finally entered again in my third year of university. I guess I was 45,
mm-hmm.
and 44, 45, and I finished my 2 years of the BA plus one more year of a teaching credential.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to my graduation, and it was a very proud moment. Didn't you go to my graduation?
Mm-mm.
Was it the Del Mar racetrack?
I don't think I went.
I think you did.
What year was it?
You went, and I think Tracy went. It was in 2003.
I guess I must have went. I think
it was at the Del Mar Fair. It was at the Del Mar Fair. We'll look through pictures.
Okay.
And see if you're there.
No, I remember seeing pictures and I don't remember being there. That's fucked up.
Well, maybe if you're not in them, then you weren't there.
I don't know where I was. That's interesting.
We went over to Renee's house for a little celly.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Was I there too?
You must have been.
We
have to look through pictures.
Your fondest memory.
It's one of them. That was one of my proudest moments.
Our proudest, right.
Yeah. Because I worked hard at that.
Yeah.
It was not easy. And I was with a very dysfunctional boyfriend at the time who was drinking heavily. And I, oddly enough, stopped drinking in my last semester of that.
I remember
my degree.
That.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 17?
Mm-hmm.
16, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then thought my boyfriend would quit drinking too, but he didn't. Had no interest in it. So thankfully, that was over after a few months.
Mm-hmm. How could I forget?
Yeah, that was a rough time. It was a rough time.
Yeah.
And part of, I guess, why it's a proud moment.
And then, I wanted to ask something about that too, but I forgot already.
Teaching?
About teaching. But you ultimately didn't love teaching.
I decided when I was student teaching, because I got a multiple subject credential,
yeah,
not a single subject, so I could only teach the little ones. Okay. And after student teaching, I decided that it wasn't for me. The little ones were not for me. Right. It was hard. It's, you know, it's glorified babysitting, really, is what it is. And you've got 30 plus of them that you're watching. And I wasn't cut out for that. And thought that I could do the older, I could teach older grades. And I called the university and told them. I was in a panic after I finished. And they told me that with that credential, I could teach older children in a setting wherein where you teach all subjects, like juvenile hall or some of the charter schools. So I could apply to those, and I did. And I was able to teach high school students in the charter school setting.
Yeah.
And I did like that, and I did like those kids, but I did not like the administration.
Right, that's right.
It was rough.
Mm-hmm.
It was rough, yeah.
Kind of micromanaging.
Very micromanagement, yeah, yes. And the school I worked for was notorious for micromanaging.
Right.
And I don't do well under that.
No. I don't know if many people do.
Yeah, and but I really enjoyed the kids. I really, really enjoyed the students.
Right. I wonder what about that did you enjoy the most? What was the most, like...
Counseling them. Counseling them.
Okay.
Because we were...
Like life counseling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I that was part of the job as a charter school teacher is, you know, these kids, most of them came from families, from broken up families. The majority of them were single family homes, lower socioeconomic homes,
right.
The area that I was in. And I just enjoyed working with the kids.
Mm-hmm. It's gratifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were allowed a certain amount of a budget to go on field trips, and that was a lot of fun. So several teachers would get group up and take a handful of our students who we deemed or you know, maybe they worked towards it, or it's the only kids who could afford it, and maybe they had to pitch in a little bit. I don't think so. Actually, I don't think so, but whoever, you know, we gathered a small group of our own students, and maybe we thought they could behave the best, I don't know, or needed it the most. But it touched me that we were going to Balboa Park, which is a landmark in San Diego, and San Diego is not that large.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these kids had never been to Balboa Park, and it was heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
But then to take them there, you know, and for them to experience it was just a joy. It was a real joy.
What about when you took Mark there? Did you get a similar experience?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, you know, at his age, which was, I think, late 20s at that point, he had never been to Balboa Park. I was shocked. I was shocked. I really thought he was a man of, you know, many travels, but as it turns out, he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice one. And when you started college, that was after, before Jason was born, but you continued when he was born.
No, I stopped when I was... So I met his father when I was on summer break after my second year in at Northern Arizona University.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Catalina, which is where my parents had moved and were working. And I met Jason's dad. He was their bellman at the hotel they worked at. And... So he and I left the island And I, at that point, decided I was not going back to school. And he and I went and picked up my car in Flagstaff, where my school was, Northern Arizona University. And we drove down to Phoenix and decided we were going to take up house there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got pregnant and was 20 when I was pregnant with Jason. I was 20 when I... No, I was 21 when I had him.
Yeah.
I was 21 years old when I had him. And then I didn't go back to school again until... And his father and I split up very early. He was a year old when we split up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go back to school. I think I was in my early 30s when I started going to community college.
And then you worked up until then?
Yes.
But education's always been something that was like a, like you knew you wanted to finish school.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I must have. Whether I was conscious of it or not.
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like it, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Cool.
And yeah. So far, each one of my children, it's been very important to them, too, so.
Yeah. That's interesting, too.
Right. Once you're done with school, you'll be my third college graduate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like something about being educated, or maybe there's a better way to word that, but there's something about that.
Something of value in education?
For you, and it kind of has passed on in some way to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel less guilty about
I didn't mean to
abandoning.
Make you feel guilty.
No, I mean, I felt it anyway. You didn't have to make me feel that way. But yeah, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you guys saw so little of me, you thought, well, that must be something pretty cool she's working at.
Must be important.
Right.
You want to add anything to that one? Your proudest memory? Or proudest in your life?
No, I think that's...
Just good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me about someone who's had a big influence on your life? And what lessons did that person teach you?
I think that my grandmother on my biological father's mother.
Granny?
No. Granny was my mother's mom.
Okay.
But my biological father, Ray.
Yeah.
His mom.
Okay.
And her name, she went by Van. Her name was Evangeline. And apparently she was called many things in her life with the name Evangeline. She was called Eve at one point. She was called Angel. And then she somehow settled into Van. That was her name, Van. But I called her Grandma.
Yeah.
And my grandma, she loved me and I knew it. I just knew it. And my parents would put my brother and I on a train. I was 4 and he would have been about 8. And they would put us on a train from Houston up to Dallas. And I guess she must have, you know, she was there when the train got in and picked us up. And I guess that was legal back then. And Lord knows what havoc we wreaked on the train. But it was fun. And she'd pick us up and we'd stay with her for maybe a week. And, you know, I remember being in the bathtub and she was right there, like, helping me bathe. Even at a certain point, I'd have to say, Grandma, I'm fine, because I would do all that stuff myself. But she didn't know that. She didn't realize how independent I already was. And but it was just sweet that she wanted to, you know, bathe me. because I don't recall getting bathed at home. But she had toys for us. She had a box of toys that I would look forward to. I kind of knew what she had, and she had these kind of unique things that I wasn't used to, and we'd play with them. And when my brother would tease me, which he loved doing, he loved getting a rise out of me, and she would gracefully quelch the arguments without, and she did it without screaming, which was unusual for me. I wasn't used to that, and she just had a kind of a grace under fire that I always admired in her. But she protected me from him, and I loved that. She would take us to Six Flags over Texas. She entertained us, and I just knew she loved me from a very early age. I knew that she favored me. And why that was, I don't know. Maybe Gary was just too much for her. Maybe he reminded her of her son, who was her only child. Ray was her only child. And probably a handful. I don't know. My mother really didn't like her very much. And I admired that she persevered. I think she knew my mom didn't like her. And the main reason that she didn't like, my mother didn't like her was because she was my father's mother, and she didn't like him. And but I still loved her, you know. I still was crazy about her, and she persevered, even though I think my grandmother knew, she was a smart woman, and she knew that my mother didn't care for her, but she persevered to see us, her grandchildren, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Sounds somewhat similar to Tina, or you in the face of...
That's true, and I've thought about that too, to see my child. I mean, I could probably, my grandchild, I could probably easily have just let her blend into the Armijo family, but I wasn't about to do that.
Yeah.
That's true. And I have thought of that. That has entered my mind. So, yeah, she was a big influence on my life. And then later, even as a preteen and teen, I would visit her after she retired and she moved to San Diego. I would visit her here in San Diego by myself. And she always lived in North Park. And she loved that area, and she moved a lot whenever her rent would go up. Even by $10, she'd move. She was a very independent woman.
She's single? She never remarried?
Yes, her husband died. I didn't know him, and she died when Ray was young. He was young. Maybe he was like, I'm thinking 10-ish, he died. And she never remarried. And she was a single mom all that time. So maybe I learned also independence through her.
Yeah.
But I really, truly adored her.
She provided something that your mom couldn't in many ways, it sounds like.
Yes, right, right.
And... why is my memory shitty? What did she provide that your mom couldn't?
The ability to show me love.
Yeah.
I think is really what resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I truly felt that from my mother. In fact, I don't recall her ever telling me she loved me.
Ouch.
Right.
And what about, like, the physical aspect of being loved? I'm sure that your mom couldn't provide that for you guys either.
Like hugging and kissing and... No.
Not ever.
Once Grandpa came into our lives, my dad, your grandpa, a little bit more. I remember, like, as a preteen, like, going in to kiss them goodnight, which felt kind of weird and artificial, to tell you the truth. Mm. Maybe it was just a brief period in their lives that they were trying something new. I don't know. But I would go to each side of their bed and kiss them goodnight. And it felt unnatural.
Like not well received.
Maybe. Right. It felt artificial.
Yeah.
I did feel loved, too, by my dad. Not my biological father, but...
Right, right.
Yeah. My father who adopted us and was my dad.
Captain Bob.
And I do feel like... I do feel he loved me very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I remember you telling me something he said right before he died about him being proud of you.
Yes, he did. It was right before he went into surgery, which was, he didn't die on the operating table, but he didn't live much longer afterwards. And before he went in, and he said, if I don't get a chance to tell you this, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
And he was crying. Mm-hmm. A tear fell down his face. And I was kind of mad. I said, don't say that, Daddy. You're coming through this. But, you know, thank you, obviously. But he did tell me how proud he was of me. Because shortly before he died, I'm sure you recall, he moved in with me.
Mm-hmm.
For a few months, and I'd begged him to move in sooner, but he wouldn't, and he was always, he's already pretty sick when he moved in to my house, and it was just almost too late at that point, but I took him to school with me one day. I brought him into the classroom and introduced him to everybody. And it was so sweet, and I introduced him to all the teachers that were there, and some of my students were in the classroom, and one kid who was particularly a handful, but he was a real character, and he was finally doing work, which was not like him. And so I had the opportunity to introduce him to this kid, and he said, Mr. Russell, your daughter is the best teacher I've ever had in my entire life. My dad looked over at me, and I said, I paid him to say that. And he and I, you know, he had a funny sense of humor, kind of dry, Grandpa did. Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, I don't know, we just kind of fed off each other, and we just looked at each other like, it was almost like, did he really just say that? And when I told my dad, I paid him to say it. He knew I was joking, but he laughed. He thought it was hysterical.
That's cute.
But yeah, so it was really nice that he got to see that, you know, my education finally paid off. And I was actually using it, putting it to use in teaching. And I could tell he was pretty sick at that point.
Yeah.
He was super skinny and was even having trouble walking. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, he's walked through my classroom, and I could just tell there was a glint in his eye, and I could just tell he was super proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was also, like I described my grandmother, grace under fire. So was he. It didn't matter what came his way, what kind of chaos, and even the way he dealt with my mother, he was grace under fire.
Yeah.
Never ruffled.
But loved her the whole way
crazy
through.
Crazy about her.
And I wonder what he saw underneath.
I think he knew she was damaged.
Yeah.
I think he knew she needed taking care of. I do. Even though his mother was very strong because I knew them. Mm. I knew his mom and dad. And if anything, in their dynamics, his father was the weak one and his mother was very strong.
And he took that role.
I think so.
Or he allowed himself to, I don't know, take that role.
But he was crazy about her. Well, she was a good-looking woman.
She was good-looking.
And she was a pistol.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
She was a pistol, and that attracted him. And maybe that's what he thought. Maybe he saw his mother in her. Because she was a little bit of a pistol.
Hmm.
But as it turns out, you know, she really wasn't as independent as she seemed. She mm-hmm. really, deep down, was a very dependent woman.
Yeah.
Never learned to drive.
Hmm.
Never learned to swim.
Hmm.
As much time as we spent in the water. She took swimming lessons, but she never learned.
Hmm.
She could never swim.
Never knew that.
Yeah, she could not swim.
Hmm.
Almost like she had a block against it.
Some trauma, maybe.
Took swimming lessons more than 2 times. I couldn't master it. It was interesting. And driving as well.
Hmm.
She did drive, but it didn't come natural. It wasn't easy for her. I think she had a mental illness, quite frankly, and I think she was filled with anxiety.
Yeah, that's what I gathered. I obviously just knew her from little child, but listening to and thinking about all the things now, it sounds like she probably struggled with anxiety.
Yeah. Right.
Which I think she passed down to all of us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid so.
But thank God for these role models in your life, you know?
Yeah. Right.
For everybody. I mean, they affected you and ultimately affected me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame you could never meet my grandma, because I know you would have really liked her, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she died when Jason was just a kid. He met her. I don't think he remembers her. He was too young.
That's your biological father?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would have been your great-grandma.
Mm-hmm. Well, I met her through you.
Yeah. Did. I should show you some pictures of her, too. I think you've seen her, but I don't think you've really connected the dots.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't a terribly, terribly attractive woman. She was tall-ish, oddly.
Mm-hmm.
But she exuded confidence.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very confident woman.
Knew who she was. That's always nice. That's comforting when somebody is sure of themselves and does things out of not out of spite, but no matter what the situation is, whatever they feel is right, that's what they're gonna do. It's nice when someone knows themselves well enough to do the things they need to do because it's right to them. She has values, you know.
I think that she had a happy childhood. I have a feeling. I mean, I didn't know any of her relatives. I have a lot of history on them, if you ever want to delve into it. She was a sergeant, and apparently they came over from England on, I believe, the Mayflower.
Hmm.
And she lived in Boston. I think she was born in Boston. And when she was 10, from what I remember, she moved to New York. But she always kept that Boston accent. She always had that little Boston accent in her.
Mm.
She never lost it.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wrap that. This has 20 seconds on it. So I just want to thank you for doing these questions with me.
Thank you. I was very nervous, and it was a lot easier than I had anticipated.
Love you.
I love you.